Amen. Another hand of praise for the pastors that have given their messages this morning and really has confirmed a lot of that is going on for today. And if I had to title this message, I would say the title would be Change. And I find it as we're listening to the worship song, the CD was Change, Change, Change. But I want to read the definition of change. Definition of change is to make or become different. Take or use another instead of. So it says take or use another instead of. That's the gospel. The gospel is all about change. If we're not changing, then what are we doing? We have to ask ourselves, what is happening in our lives if we're not changing? There should be a constant change in our lives. Every day there should be change. Through the changing of our minds and the way we're thinking, should be always change. We should be changing in the sense of decisions, changing. As far as, I'm going to go back to that one definition. It says make or become different. Are we becoming different? Is there things happening in our lives? Is it the same old, same old, same old, same old? If there's the same old, same old, same old going on in your life, you have to really ask yourself, what's going on? Am I living the gospel? Am I looking at my life and making changes? You know, you have the power to change. Don't sit there and think things are just going to happen all on its own. Yes, God opens up doors and God closes doors and God does make way where there's no other way, but you got to operate it. He's put something inside of you to move you. Change is a move. You have to make a move. Action comes with change. If there's no action in your life, you're not going to get a change. If you just sit there and just murmur and complain about everything, and you're just over here saying, oh, I want something better, I want to do that, I want that, no change in your life, you don't have a life. Change is like a running river. If you dam up the river, you dam up the pond, what's the pond look like? Stagnant, green, ugly, smelly, stinky, and it even dries up. Turns into hard, rocky clay. Then it starts cracking and gets harder. Could that be the same thing with us? When we don't have that water running through us, if we don't have change rushing through us, we know different than that pond. We get stagnant. We get old, dried up, and our hearts get hard. Change in your life is good. And this is what the gospel is all about. The gospel is about repentance. A lot of people take the repentance as the dirty thing. Oh, I'm so sorry for this. Oh, I'm so sorry for that. I'm so sorry for this. And then we get to the point where Pastor Sam said, we begin to blame everybody else. We start pointing a finger, and I think that was also Pastor Tim. We just begin to point and blame everybody else. And then we would never take responsibility for our own selves. Repentance is changing the way you're thinking. Change. And if we don't have change in our lives, we don't have a life. The whole time, this Bible right here is probably the only book that I know that is true. You need to read it with spiritual eyes. You have to have it with a spiritual mind. It's hard to read this book without it. You begin to come up with your own interpretations and you alter it. This is what happens, and I believe this is what's going on in today. Because they're not changing, they're changing the truth in this book for their own twinkling of their ears. And that's sad. Because I think that's where the false prophets in the last days are going to rise up. You're going to be following by lies and not obeying those convictions. And you come to that place of putting your own righteous garment on, and you become the judge. You're dead. We need to take off this righteous garment. We got to humble ourselves and realize change. Change is good. There are a lot of people out there that don't like change. I've had an individual come up to me a couple of weeks ago, and they looked right at me and said, "We don't like change." And I went, "Oh my God. If you don't like change, there's a big problem. For one, you can't stop change. So if you don't like change, and change is coming in your life, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to kick and scream. You're going to fight, kick, scream, and even try to manipulate, try to control. Then you're going to slander and lie, and all these other things are going to happen to you. And you're going to fall further and further and further away from what I call the glory of God. As a believer, as a Christian, as one who is to be one with God, requires change. God says you should be like the wind. And the wind blows wherever it wants to blow. And who are you to say which way the wind should blow? If we don't embrace change in our lives, we're dead. I'm going to hit home today with change. We need to embrace change. Not all change is good, I'm going to tell you right now. But it's not good in the beginning. Because God turns all things around for the good to those who love Him. You need to embrace change. Stop looking at the negative things of change and start looking at the positive things of change. In the beginning, your change might hurt, might be difficult. You have a chance to change the way you're thinking at this moment right away and start rejoicing. Rejoice in all things. Again, I say rejoice. So if you had a change in your life and you're catching yourself complaining about it, you better repent really quick, because curses are falling on your life. Curses. And who wants to be cursed? Oh, yeah, I want to be cursed. I just want to be cursed all day long. I'll tell you right now, nobody wants to be cursed. Nobody. But numerous times in the Bible, it tells us what happened to everyone that murmured and complained. Every time they complained and murmured, they were cursed. Whether it took longer for them to receive or whatever, or their blessings never ever came, they were cursed. We have to embrace change. We have to come to a place of saying, "Not my will, but your will be done. Please, Lord, let me get through this. Teach me, show me, guide me, lead me." We should embrace change as much as possible. I'm going to tell you, most of the time, change in our lives isn't always good. Unless we've been asking for it. Like I look at Melinda, she's getting a change in her life very shortly. She's going to be starting a new career. She's been asking, she's been longing for it. She's coming into a change. Now that change looks good right now. Exciting. But her first week might be very, very hard. Her first week might be like, my God, I can't believe I asked for this. I hope not. But more than likely, it probably is. You know why? Because there's more changes in the change. And when we come into a new place, a new time in our life, it's a change. But then in that change, whether it's good or bad, there's a lot of little changes too. And we have to adjust. We have to be humble, humble ourselves, and just go with the flow. Try not to resist the change. If you resist the change, it's going to come hard on you. It's going to be like sandbags hitting you in the head. It's just going to constantly pound on you and pound on you and pound on you. But if you surrender to the change and accept it, and just begin to accept, things are going to be a lot easier. Doors are going to open up quicker. And you'll be able to come into a place of peace. How many of us like peace? I love peace. So what I've learned in my life is when I see things take place, I never judge it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, change has a way of making you judge. So I never judge change. I look at it and say, Lord, show me. Show me what you're doing. My life is in your hands. Show me. And if you show that heart to God, I'm going to tell you right now, every change in your life is nothing but a plus. There are good things that are coming in store for you. I'm sharing this message today because I believe God is bringing change in every one of your lives right now. And if we don't embrace this change, as God is saying, it's my will, let me change, and you murmur, you're opening up doors, and I call it Pandora's box. And it's only going to break you. It's going to humble you and break you to the point you say, okay, God, your will is going to be done anyhow in my life. And if you embrace it the way the prophetic word is coming now and say to me, like I say all the time, like me, I say this, interesting. This is interesting. What are you doing, God? This is interesting. Don't know if I like it, or I don't know if I do like it, but I know you're in control, because no weapons formed against you shall prosper. We always tend to feel like the victim. How many have ever felt that way? Especially when change comes. Not the ones that we've been waiting for, not the ones we've been praying for, because when those changes come, we're like, woohoo! But, like I said, the next day, you got all these little changes that you didn't ask for. And you're not going to be going, woohoo, anymore. So we have to realize that even through the blessing of change, those things that you've been longing for and you've been asking for, you're going to have a lot of little changes in the midst of that that is not going to have you go, woohoo. In the midst of that, God is saying, because I'm bringing a change, whether it's your blessing or not, you asked. Because maybe you not have asked for this change. Don't take the victim mentality. Don't take this woe me mentality. Because if you take this woe me mentality towards this change, a curse is coming to humble you. Because God is saying, I'm God, and I'm not going to have any other gods before me. And if you place these things in front of me, I'm going to just roll over your idols. I'm going to crush them. And then you're going to have more complaints, more crying, more woeing, until you realize, and the vision that is coming to me is, anyone ever heard the story about King Nebuchadnezzar, where he left his royalty, okay, and then ended up his hair, is that, do I got the right one? His nails grew real long. Who was it? Nezarina. Okay, as long as I got the right one. I know I really got to get better in this here. get the name. Yeah, but he went insane. He lost his mind because there was a change. And then he embraced the change. He embraced it. And then realized, you're God. And he went back to that worship of saying, whatever it is, I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to embrace it. And then God restored. He restored his mind. He went back to the throne room where he belonged. I truly believe that God doesn't want to take anything away from his children. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. But when change comes and we don't embrace it, we feel robbed. We feel naked. We feel ashamed. We need to stop feeling these feelings and rise above and get out of the woe is me. How many of us here, just alone, maybe there's many on the internet that we can't see raising their hand, but what about those here that have felt that way when a change came? That you felt like a victim, that you felt like, you know, oh, how am I going to cope? What's going to happen with my life? Listen, repentance. We need to change the way we're thinking. I want God for me, not against me. I want God to bless me, not curse me. I want God to work with me and allow me to fulfill the life that he has for me. So this change coming in everyone's life right now, because this is a prophetic word, grab hold of it, because change is coming. Grab hold of it, whether it's coming in your life, in family, finances, career, whatever, friends, whatever it is, change is coming. Can't stop it. But in that, if we're over here saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't understand what you're doing, but I want to thank you. The doors that bring the blessings open up, and you bypass the doors that I call Pandora's box. So who wants to even experience Pandora's box? Not me. Keep that door closed. Don't even crack it. I don't want it. I want to walk through the change in peace. And when you accept it, he doesn't allow pain to come on you. You don't deserve it. You're giving God glory. You're giving him praise. He says, pain, don't come upon them. Pain's a spirit. And he holds back that spirit and doesn't allow it to come into your heart. He won't afflict you with suffering. He will take on the afflictions. He will hold back the sufferings. And there won't be pain in your change. So when we walk forward, know this. Take it patiently. Look at it and know that God is doing things in the heavenlies. And it might take a year in a place of dormant, I call it, where you might feel like nothing's going on, or you might feel alone. And it might even take longer than a year. It might take two. It might take three, and I'm going to tell you right now, if it's taking three, four, whatever it is, if it's taking longer than you want, this is where you really got to dig deep. You got to dig deep, because a lot of times we don't think we're complaining. A lot of times we don't really see our hearts rejoicing and praising. We're taking the victim motive. We got to look at our hearts. How many of us have ever been duped where we believe that we're really not feeling sorry for ourselves? Amen. How about when we feel unjusted, that justice has not been given to me and I've been dealt with wrongfully or lied to? Or deceived, or influenced, or all above. All right. And we really believe it. I want to say, who said that to you? Who told you that? Because our minds create imaginations of death. And they want to pet you. And they want to make you feel as though that that's the right thing that's going on and you're a victim. As soon as you start feeling like a victim and you feel like you've been mistreated, I'm going to tell you right now, you better take that thought, throw it down on the ground and stamp on it as quick as you can. Because I call that the hidden curse. That's nothing but hiding curses looking to destroy your life or delay your blessing. You don't want to stop change in your life. It's almost like when a door shuts and you're ready to go forward and it stops. And it's like, what the heck is going on? Why is this taking forever? You know what is some of the biggest torment in our lives? Time. If we had control of time, we wouldn't be this tormented. But just wait in line when you're in a hurry. Look at your piece. Hurry up! What's wrong with this lady? What's wrong with this guy? What's taking so long? I can't believe this. Don't they know I'm in a rush? Listen to yourself. It's like, whoa! You think you got control? We have no control. No control at all. But if we have this victim mentality, this self-righteous, I want to call it, where it's me. You're holding me up. You got nothing but curses all over you. You're under a black cloud, and you better get yourself out of that cloud. And I'll tell you what. Because of the way things are happening in our lives, it's almost like the norm. We're told you should feel this way. And you have rights. How many people feel that they have rights? Well, that's another curse. When you start demanding your rights or your privileges and all these other things, where we are lied to and we are told that we have rights, I'm going to tell you right now, you're living a curse too. You don't realize it. You might push your way through and you might get your little self-righteousness going because you proved them wrong because you pushed your rights. You're being robbed in a lot of different areas. You might not see it, but I'm going to show you a little lie that is out there. God will give you your avenue of right. What I mean is, let's take a category of your life, and you feel injustice, and you work your justice, and you get your way by pushing your door open. All right, you succeeded. But what's happening around the rest of your life? Is your kids coming under sickness or disease? Is your aunts and uncles losing their minds? Is your car breaking down? Is all these other things happening around that you're not even aware of? The only thing that you're focused on is that one thing. And through that, darkness tries to embolden you even more, making feel as though that you have rights. This is a dangerous place to be. None of us have rights. Even though, look, I want to feel as though that I have rights. I have a right to live. I have a right to wake up. I have a right to die. We have rights. But the moral of what I'm trying to say is, let God make your righteousness right. Let God bring vengeance where vengeance is due. Let God curse your enemies. Don't curse them. Let God be God. And let God make a way where there is no way. I remember one time when we were ministering in the streets. And we were called to go into the prison. Remember that, Pastor Sam and Tim? And we were called into the prison. And I'm going to tell you right now, my record will not allow you in the prison. I could have lied, I could have manipulated, I could have said I have rights, my life has changed, you can't hold these things against me, we're looking to do a good thing, could have done all that. But what did we do? We filled out the application, gave it to God. The FBI gave an extensive background check. And at that time in my life, as soon as they pulled up my number, they would have bleep, 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 bleep. And the flags would have been out. But God, because he's God, has changed my identity.
They threw the other guy out who was trying to get in with us and kept you.
You want to come out and share this? Because it's vital to understand that we are not in control and that we have to lay our rights down.
My uncle and father had this ministry, and I was going to bring Pastor in, and from the beginning, my uncle said, any arrests in his past? And I said, yeah, and a long time ago, but it was still on his record, and my uncle said, there's no way he's going to get in. There's no way. He's seen it happen time and time again. Any kind of red flag, they don't let you in, especially anything with that these guys did, that you did and got arrested for. They ain't letting you in there. So when the report came back, we came to the front door of my uncle's house. I'll never forget it. And we started walking in the front door. And my uncle came to the door and he was like, you're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe it. He got in and this guy got out. And this guy drops right there in the hall, in the door, onto the porch, drops. I'm like, oh, here we go. I knew it was going to. My uncle's like, what's going on? I said, don't worry. You don't know. And then we got in there and it was, but that was the beginning of getting me out of that ministry, because the ministry was bad. And if he didn't get into prison and witness that same time, right. I spoke a message that was very powerful and my uncle rebuked me, and the devil in him, yeah, it was just whatever.
Not only did you get rebuked, but I was in the back,
yep.
And all these Muslims are renouncing their God.
Because you're not supposed to be able to pray for these guys. You can't touch them. This guy's in the back laying hands on, and they're all dropping, and the guards are like, what do we do? Like, what are we? This guy's dropping to left to right with just his hand. What is? He's not stabbing him. What's going on here? The guards saw it. The prisoners saw it. All the Muslims were in the back on the floor. They were like, what's going on with this guy touching people? And they saw the power, and they couldn't believe it. And the guards let him do it, which is, they could lose their job letting him touch the prison. We can't touch him. We're not allowed to touch him. And he touched, tons of them.
So you got to imagine, Sam's up there bringing a fire message, and Muslims are in the back being slain in the spirit.
So jealousy,
I mean, it was just undone service in jail.
My uncle had jealousy. He had jealousy. He had jealousy. And I was like, why are you jealous about God? It's not us, it's God. And he's had a move here, and these men are weeping. Prisoners are weeping all over the floor. They're shaking. They're shaking, convulsing. It was insane what was happening. And he gets jealous. He's not going, wow, what a great. He was jealous. And that was the beginning of the end.
Yep. Threw us out. But the moral of what we're trying to say is we're not in control. God has a way, and he will make a way in your life. But what we're trying to say, that I feel that God is saying through us, is we have to surrender to the change. We have to lay ourselves down. Give your rights away. Walk in life humble. Walk with humility. If you're a God child, why do you feel as though that you have to defend yourself? If you're a God child, why do you feel as though that you have to stand for some type of right? Let God work. If you stand for your rights, you may think you got a blessing. It's a false blessing. Darkness wants you to continue in that realm. They're all false blessings. It's called deception. And we don't really understand deception. We're deceived in the truth of deception. Darkness wants to keep you deceived. We have to break through deception and understand the truth so the truth can set us free. I want God to work through my life with peace and ease. I want God to fulfill the desires of my heart. My heart has so many desires. How many of us have desires in our hearts? Amen. Our hearts should be filled with desires. Filled with desires. Don't ever stop desiring with whatever. Whatever you think, comprehend. They're all from God. Every one of them are. But He wants to fulfill your desires, not you. He doesn't want you to become God. He wants Him to be God in you. There's a difference. It's a big difference. It's a life of saying, I am filled with all this hope and desire, but God, you give them to me. I will walk in humility. I will lay my life down. I will give you my life. And when you have that heart, you're going to see blessings. You're going to see blessings beyond what you can comprehend or imagine. God wants to bring good changes in your life, but God also wants to be God in the change. And if you're murmuring and complaining through the changes, He's only going to keep you bound and cursed until you realize He's God. And rejoice in the fact that He's God. And give back the pain. Lord, take away this, and I'm going to give it back to you. Not my will, but your will be done. Repent so the curse can be reversed. And then start fresh. Wait for the blessing. Wait until what's rightly due to us. Let Him bring righteousness in your life. Stop trying to create your own righteousness by your demands, your attitudes. We got to be careful about how we view ourselves. Listen, I'm not saying that you don't deserve respect. I'm not saying you don't deserve integrity. I'm not saying that you don't deserve. But when you puff yourself up and demand or rebel and create issues and problems and kick against the gods and you kick your door open, you may get your way. But I'm going to tell you right now, the rest is going to be crumbling around you. I want my whole life whole. I don't want to just get my one view through while the rest is all crumbling around me. I want a whole life in wholeness. There's a verse here that was given to me in 2 Corinthians. And it starts off in verse 5, or chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciousness. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on your behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we now know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. The meaning of this is we need to now start giving Christ full control of our lives. When anything has happened to you, it's happening to Christ, not you. When things are happening in your life with changes, it's not happening to you. It's happening to Christ. How many of us right now can grab our lives and put it down and lift Christ up in us, and now God has full control of his own Son? It is no longer you that lives, but he that lives inside of you. So look at it now. If anyone comes against you, they didn't come against you. They came against Christ. If anyone came and blessed you, they didn't bless you. They blessed Christ. If changes is happening in your life, it's not happening in your life, but it's happening in Christ. When can we rise up and say it's no longer I that lives, but he that lives inside me? I believe God is saying it's time for his people to rise up in this heart and stop taking things so personal and understand it to embrace the change. If you looked at the message, the whole message was about you changing the way you're thinking and get out of it personally. We need to begin to put our lives in Christ and allow these things to take place in him. For one, every hope and every desire, every thought, every wish that is in your heart, it's all Christ. It's Christ's hope. It's Christ's desire. It's Christ's life. And whatever God is doing, he's doing it in Christ. Let him do it in Christ. When we step out of Christ, we step out of the covering of God. Now we're subject to curses. Now we're subject to being condemned. We're subject. But God turns all things around for the good to those who love him. And by showing God love, we don't take it personal anymore. Do you have rights? Can you imagine Jesus trying to create rights for his life when they were leading him to the cross without a cause? Let's take the life of Jesus. When they said, we knew him in the flesh, but we now no longer know him in the flesh. We know him in the spirit. It was not him, because he laid his life down and gave his life to God and said, God, if you want to bring judgment on me, so be it. If you want to take me to the cross, so be it. But when he did, he was showing a thousand things to the one thing we saw. We saw a man being whipped without a cause. But at the end, he gave us salvation through it. Darkness was destroyed. I hope we see what I see. We need to understand that when we live this life in Christ, God is doing a thousand things to our one. And when we live in him, God's purpose, his plan, unveils itself later. You might be feeling persecuted or judged without a cause now, but the fruit, if you listen to what I'm saying and embrace the change and let God work out what he's doing, you're going to see the glory that is due to you, because all glory is in his Son, Christ. And if so, if we live Christ, we're going to live his glory. And we're going to end up seeing the outcome is going to be glorified. I'm waiting for the outcome of glory in my life. I hope you're waiting for the outcome of glory in your life. I want to see Christ live in you. But if you continue to live in yourself, you are never going to be blessed and you're always going to be cursed. And that's just the way it is. Pain will not be taken away from you. You will be considered deserving of the pain. You will be considered deserving of the suffering. You will be considered deserving of the torment and despair, the judgment. But if it's Christ in you, and you're living that life of Christ, there's no judgment. And your pain is taken away. And all your hopes and desires and dreams will unfold and manifest itself. And you will be blessed. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Sam. He has a verse that he wants to read. And I'm going to end this is, let us have that heart. Let us embrace this change that is coming in our lives, because change is coming to each and every one. Everyone that heard this message, change is coming in your life. It's how we're going to handle the change. There may be people come, there may be people that leave, there may be opportunity of your career, or you may lose your career. You might have shortcomings in your finances, or you might be blessed in your finances. You're going to have change. Change is anything. Embrace it. It is no longer you that lives, but Christ that lives in you. And God is changing for the betterment of Christ so that you can be a testimony to Him. Amen. Let's give a hand of praise to Pastor Sam.
I had a friend who jumped from job to job to job. Never could hold a job down for more than 6 months, 5 months, 6 months. Every time he got a job, he would complain about the boss. Every single time. Complain about the boss every time. The boss has an issue. The boss has a problem. This is always the boss. It's always the authority. And this person never humbled himself. And I said, you know what? Try this one time. Thank God for the job. Thank God. And work for him. Thank God that you have a job. Start being grateful and stop complaining about your job. And then God gave me this scripture a long time ago, and we need to listen to this scripture because we have to understand this. If we're not taking the truth in here and applying it to our lives, not when you're in here. When you leave here is when you start living. In here, everybody can be good. Everybody can be, we're all good in here. When you go home and you have to deal with your stresses, then we'll see if you're applying this truth or not. It doesn't matter what you say or do. It matters how you live your life out there when the stresses are on you. That's when you're being tested. But listen to what the scripture says. Be careful of this. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established. From the top to the bottom. God has put everyone in authority. He wants an authority from this in this country and every other country in the world, from the top to the bottom. Listen. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Want to know why you can't keep a job? Want to know why you can't get ahead in life? Want to keep repeating your same problems over and over again? Because we're rebellious. Emotion has become our God. We have never, ever, ever said, God, you put this person in authority. I'm gonna listen to you because you're in control. No one's in authority that God didn't put in authority from the top down. From the top of the authority to your boss. It's all been established by God. And if you're rebelling against the authority God put in, you're gonna be in trouble. You will have a curse on you. Throw all your emotional reasoning aside. Surrender to whatever God has put in front of you and humble yourself, and He'll open every door. Doors don't come by your emotional rebellion. People are in the streets rebelling against the authority that God put in this country, and it's disgusting. It's disgusting. It's rebellion. God put authority in this country, and God put authority in your lives, and if you rebel against it, you're going to be cursed. Trust me when I say, whoever God put in, you have to back. Whoever God puts as your boss, surrender, humble yourself, and realize that God put them in authority. You have no control. He put them in authority. If you don't have authority over them, you just got to submit yourself and humble yourself and say, God, you put them in authority. And have a peaceful life. Stop being tossed to and fro. And if you're hanging out with people who do this, who rebel, get away from them. Their lives are hell. They can't keep jobs. They don't have relationships, but they're your friends. They're not your friends. They're here to hold you back. They're going to be gone. They're going to be burning in hell. You're eternal. Why are you hanging out with these people? What are you hanging out with? Hang out with eternal people. Not those who rebel against authority and go and picket and boycott and fight and do all this crap that causes curses in their lives. They'll never, ever, ever go anywhere. You hang with them, you'll be right with them. But if you submit yourself under the authority that God established everywhere in this world, everywhere in this country, the doors will never stop opening up for you. Because emotion is not your God, truth is. And you're trusting God in everything. He wants you to know that he's put everyone in authority from top to bottom. Stop rebelling. Stop. Why are you wasting all this energy on this? No wonder you have no joy, no peace. Your whole life is no, no, no. What are we doing? Just say, okay, forget it. Who cares? God's in control. Who cares? God's in control. They can do nothing to you unless God allows it. They can't lay a finger on you unless God allows it. You are his. You belong to him. They can't touch you. If you realize that, you realize the power that you walk in. He hardens every heart and softens every heart. Amen? Let's just keep this in mind. Oh, Tim's got something.
Amen. I just want to back up what both of them are saying today. When I was sitting back there, the Lord gave me the scripture about Joseph, you know, and how Joseph was wrongly accused by Potiphar's wife. She tried to seduce him, and he resisted her, and she lied about it, and Pharaoh put him in jail. But the interesting part was when he was in jail, he didn't want to receive that he was in jail. So he tried to manipulate and control the situation, and he tried to use the other two guys that were in jail with him to get him out of jail early. And you know what God did? He left him in jail another 4 years on top of that. Until the time that God raised him up. Yep. And God raised him up in due time. And when he gave him the dream up to the Pharaoh, he put him in second command. God blessed him and put him in second command, but he made him pay 4 more years because he tried to manipulate and control the situation because he didn't like it. See how God works? This message was dead on today. Embrace the change. Don't resist it. Don't try to manipulate it. Don't try to control it. Just embrace it and watch what God does in our life. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. Look, change can be really good. And like you said in the beginning, it could be hard just in the very beginning because we don't know what the change is. But then once we walk into it, then we embrace it, guess what? It turns out great. It really can. So I hope everybody's blessed today. You know, we're going to get together again. The next Wednesday is going to be the second Wednesday in September. And then from there, we might do every other Wednesday. We'll see how it goes, but we'll keep you informed however you led. So everybody be blessed, be safe, and we'll see you back here next Sunday. Amen. Amen.